And on RN, you're with The Music Show. I'm Andrew Ford, and we're listening to Steve Reich's piece, Drumming. A little later in this hour, we'll meet Tim Minchin, and we'll talk to him about his hugely successful Roald Dahl musical, Matilda, which opens next year in Sydney. It's already been in the West End and on Broadway. But we begin with Synergy. This piece by Steve Reich is the single piece in their big celebratory concert tomorrow in Sydney. They're celebrating 40 years since their formation as a percussion ensemble. They've played this piece lots of times during those 40 years. And tomorrow's performance includes the voices from Halcyon and the piccolo of Lamorna Nightingale. But mostly, of course, the members of Synergy, led by Tim Constable. They began in 1974 as a garage band in Sydney. It was called Michael Askell's Garage, in actual fact, and he was the co-founder and leader at that time. And earlier this year, I spoke to Tim Constable, who is the current artistic director, and also Colin Piper, who was there at the very beginning. Let's listen to music to introduce them by Nigel Westlake. This is a piece called Omphalocentric Lecture. Thank you. It's one of my favourite cymbal strokes in all of music, and I'm not quite sure why, but it marks the centre point of a piece by Nigel Westlake. The piece, of course, is On Phallocentric Lecture, played there by Synergy. Is one of Synergy's greatest hits, if not their greatest. I'm joined in the studio now by two members of Synergy, one the current director, and that's Timothy Constable, and the other, the venerable Colin Piper, who was there 40 years ago when Synergy first struggled to life. Maybe we should go back 40 years ago and do this in roughly chronological order.
We're here all day.
I'll move you along if you get bogged down. Okay. The very notion of a percussion ensemble, where did that come from in Sydney 40 years ago?
Well, 1974, it's a very different world then, of course, than it is now. Michael Askill had been in France studying and came back to Sydney and was working in the Australian Opera, or the Trust Orchestra, as it was called then. Was interested in doing something, I think, and Ian Bloxham and myself were in the Sydney Symphony Orchestra in the percussion section. We must have talked about doing something, and there was a fabulous tearaway person, you'd have to say, in Sydney, David Ahern, who was at the very forefront of the avant-garde, was very keen. He put on a series of concerts every year under the auspices. I think it was called AZ Music.
He was a composer.
He was, yes, very much so. Yeah, Ned Kelly music. Mm. Who shall forget it at the proms? And we must have talked about it. And he gave us the opportunity in 1974, August, to do a piece, a percussion quartet piece in a concert that he was putting on, which we decided to do. And we played a piece by Maurice Ohana, Choreographic Etude, which Michael had brought back from France. It was a quartet, luckily, not a sextet.
Because he'd been working with Le Percussion de Strasbourg.
Yeah, he studied there and had performed with them, yes, that's correct.
They were, at the time, one of the very few percussion ensembles in the world, I would have thought.
Founded in, 1971, I believe.
So they were really new, in fact.
Yes, yeah.
So where do you go from here? Because quite apart from anything else, there isn't really an enormous repertory for the ensemble back in 1974.
Especially for quartets.
No.
Yeah, that's right, because most of what had been written, for example, by Xenakis, it was all written for six players for Le Percussion. And, so it was difficult to find music. But it has to be said, after August 74, not a lot happened for a couple of years. You know, we've survived with a couple of ABC broadcasts, and I've got to tell you that Ohana piece was performed quite a few times in those days, mainly because we had the instruments. That was one of the things as well.
Well, of course, that's right, because every piece is going to be for a different setup,
right,
isn't
it?
Which is, it's not like being in a string quartet.
No, exactly right, no.
So how did the ensemble develop? I mean, who was sort of pushing it along?
Oh, Michael, unquestionably. Yeah. And he went to Melbourne the following year after that first concert. And luckily for us, very luckily for us, in middle of 76, he became the principal percussionist in the SSO. So the percussion section was, at that stage, then Michael Askill, his principal, myself, Ian Bloxham, and Richard Miller had come back from Europe. So the four of us, on and off, were Synergy Percussion then for quite a few years.
And the name Synergy, that wasn't there at the very beginning.
No, it wasn't. Michael was never real thrilled with Sydney Percussion or the Sydney Percussions, or David Ahern called us the Sydney Percussions, I think. And Michael came up with this word Synergy, and we all thought, oh, okay, it sounds all right to us. But that first came into being in the end of 78.
Right.
An art gallery concert.
Okay. And by this point, you're starting to develop new repertory, are you?
Yeah. Yes, there'd been a little bit of stuff written by Colin Bright wrote a quartet. That was a little bit later, the Colin Bright quartet, and that was for a truckload of instruments. That was massive. That was, you know, huge for us. There was a little bit of stuff being written quite largely through the composition school at the conservatorium when Graham Hare was there. And he sort of nurtured Synergy in many ways through the late 70s, early 80s, we used to perform in concerts that they would mount in both the conservatorium, the Verbruggen Hall, as it was then, and at the Broadwalk Theatre, at the Opera House.
So you're responding to demand to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah. And Trevor Pierce, for example, Jerry Brophy wrote pieces. And we, Synergy, as Synergy Percussion, put on our first own mounted concerts, if you like. First funding we really got to do concerts of our own was in 1985.
Right.
And at that stage, you know, people like Ross Edwards had written a few pieces. And,
yes.
And Nigel, which we just heard.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah, and so that, and yeah. Carl Vine's Defying Gravity.
That's correct, yes. All that repertoire came out of that era.
Yeah.
And it's sort of stood the test of time.
Those and along the way, international composers, I mean, apart from Maurice O'Hara.
Yes.
without whom there would be no.
No, that's correct, yeah.
But I suppose the two big names that keep coming back are Xenakis yes. and Steve Reich.
That's right.
Who, yeah. strangely enough, couldn't be more different from each other.
Exactly. Well, it's interesting. Both composers, an interesting story, because David Hearn gave us in 1974 a score of drumming. He brought it back
from
America.
Reich.
By Steve Reich. And said, you guys have to play this piece. You must play this piece. Well, the wherewithal to do it was not there in 1974. And that score, which Timothy might want to expand on in a while, that score is still in our possession. And it has been performed, obviously, by us in the late 90s, I think it was, wasn't it, or the early 2000s.
And you did it again recently, didn't you?
We did the first part thereof, yeah, with a composer in residence. We were part of a big... you know, he was there for about a week at the Opera House, and so we did it, yeah. And he was thrilled to see that score. it was quite funny because we still have it.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about repertory, and particularly as far as it shows off synergies through your repertory, isn't it? And the repertory's changed quite a lot over the years. There was a time when I went to Synergy concerts, I suppose this would have been in the mid-90s,
yes.
where... there were no composers on the list at all. The music was kind of mostly sort of improvised or by the players themselves.
Yeah, mostly, I mean, in that era, mostly we did commissions. This is for our own series of concerts, for the Music of Eva concerts, which we toured nationally for them. And most of those programs were made up of composed works, like the Westlake was always very popular. And the taiko drumming came into the group sort of from the late 80s into the early 90s, and that was also very popular with those audiences.
And this is via Ian Cleaver.
That's exactly right. And, of course, that's now gone on to become Tyke Oz. Yes, there was a bit of improvisation. We did a few funny things, I think, over the years, the Cactuses and the Seem to Remember.
Yes, well, John Cage is perhaps the other composer we have to mention from outside Australia because he, in many ways, invented the percussion ensemble.
Yes, and always great music to play. Any John Cage is fabulous.
Yes.
And there's some good quartets, that's the thing. And that's what we were always looking for, quartets.
Of course, yes. Yeah. You're listening to The Music Show on RN and I'm talking to Colin Piper, who was a founder member of Synergy. This was 40 years ago. And Timothy Constable, who's the current director. How many people have been sort of, I'm not talking about guests, but do you have any idea how many people have been actual members of Synergy over the 40 years?
I thought that it was 14, yeah.
No, must be more than that, surely. No. Really?
I think it's only 14.
Yeah, that could be about right, I think.
Yeah, it's 14. Yeah.
Well, that's extraordinary. I mean, that shows real continuity. Yeah. And there is this kind of sense of if you forgive the expression, batons being passed here. It's not like when all four members of a string quartet leave and another four members come along and take over the same name.
No, it's been very much gradual and dovetailed. Yeah.
Yes, I think that's why the group still exists.
Yes.
I really do. I think that's a very big part of it.
One of the things you've increasingly done, and I think you were a beneficiary of this, Timothy, is have these artists in residence come along, and very often they've gone on to become part of the group. Could you talk about how that works?
Sure, yeah. Well, in actual fact, all of the current members, myself included, have come through that program. Mm. And I think it began in the mid to late 90s. Yeah. And, you know, certainly not all of the participants have gone on to join the group. But as I said, it is a chance. I think that it came out of this desire to really help young percussionists, first of all, who needed a space to work. Because when you finish studying, if you've been studying and you don't sort of have a space and you don't have, you know, instruments to work with and on, it can be hard to just sort of start out if you're looking to pursue those aims. And secondly, just as a way of just, you know, nurturing young percussionists and certainly, you know, continuing that lineage, I guess that's how it began. Mm. And it's been, I mean, it was certainly fabulous for me. It's been different for each person because it's very much determined by... Yeah, and I think that actually that's probably a hallmark of the group generally is that ability somehow to kind of bring everyone's strengths to the table and expose them in various ways. So, yeah, I think everyone's young artist's ship has been different, but, yeah, it was really valuable.
And from the point of view of the older members, for which I speak for myself, it's also sort of recognising fantastic young talent and giving them as much opportunity as you can to hopefully one day they'll take over the baton, which as has happened. Yeah.
And presumably each time one of them comes into the group, I mean, they're learning a huge amount from the people who are already there.
But Not as much as we're learning from them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, they must also, you know, without even trying, they must change the synergy slightly perhaps a lot by their presence. What have been for you the standout moments? I'll come back to Colin because he's had more standout moments than you have, Timmy.
One of the standout moments in my life with Synergy was when we went to Taipei in 1996, I think it was, to the second Jew Percussion Festival. And groups from all over the world were present, the percussions of Strasbourg, Kramata, Amadinda, everybody was there. And the deal was it was a week-long festival and everybody played a 40-minute concert, a half a concert each. And I shall never forget walking onto the stage for our concert to play on Farlow to start with. And there sitting in the audience is every percussion ensemble in the world, you know, every one of them. And that was amazing. And to get the feedback we got from them during that festival, that was really amazing. And there's been friendships made then that are still, you know, in place. That was incredible to me.
And do you have a favourite piece that you played with Synergy?
I've never played the complete Pleiades, but Poe, the drum movement of that. That's
yes,
probably my favourite.
Yes, that's right.
Fabulous.
This piece, which keeps coming back, Pléiades, if we're going to call it, it's by its French title, or Pleiades, I suppose, if we're calling it by its English title. It's a work which is incredibly visceral, isn't it? I mean, the fact Poe is called, I mean, it means skins.
Yeah. Quite, yeah. And it's quite elemental like that. The structure of the work is very clearly delineated by the materials that he's working with in any given movement. So, yes, in one movement it is just skins, and in another it's these metal instruments called sixen, and in another it's the keyboard percussion, and he brings them all together. So, yeah, it has that elemental sort of purity.
What brings you back to it?
Well, it's a piece that, yeah, I fell in love with this work a long time ago. It's extremely satisfying. People really enjoy hearing it. It's hard to put on, you know, it takes a lot to kind of organize a performance. And I guess there's a challenge in that. And it's, you know, just the sheer challenge of it is wonderful. It has that capacity to really sort of give more as you go, you know, further into it. So that's actually really exciting. It's a piece that I do feel I could sort of come back to again and again.
And Xenakis, perhaps above all, really does exploit the physicality of percussion, doesn't he?
Mm.
I mean, he even though he was a high modernist, he could bring the house down in a percussion concert. And I've seen those concerts where you're playing Xenakis absolutely packed to the rafters and people going crazy for this music, which is supposed to be so hard and confronting.
Well, I think there's something in the percussion language which suits, you know, on the one hand, it expresses that sort of high-level mathematical, perhaps architectural, you know, penchant in skill base that he had. But also, you know, he's really concerned, it's very clear, with extremes, you know, his dynamic markings, the densities, the sort of rhythmic excesses, if we might. So I think percussion's actually a really good vehicle to you know, to do that whole picture.
Yeah. Timothy Constable, and thank you, Colin Piper, coming on today's music show. And let's go out with music by Xenakis from Pleiades.
Thank you.
And that's music by Yannis Xenakis. That's a movement from Pleiades called Mélange. It's the movement where all of the instruments are played together. And it was performed there by Synergy Percussion, an ABC Classic FM recording of a concert in Angel Place in Sydney in 2011. And tomorrow in Sydney, Synergy celebrates its 40th birthday, and the two gentlemen you heard talking a moment ago, Timothy Constable and Colin Piper, are both taking part in a performance of Steve Reich's Drumming, together with voices from Halcyon and Lamorna Nightingale playing the piccolo. Synergy at 40. The concert is tomorrow night, as I said, it's at 7 o'clock in Sydney at Pier 2 and 3. You're listening to The Music Show on RN Radio Australia and online.